Tennessee Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little league?
Fantasy league.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classy.
All right. Yes, March 7th. It is going to be a beautiful 70 degrees today. High of 70 is what they're saying. So maybe we'll get there. Maybe we won't. Man, probably about 68. You know what? It's going to be 69. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be 69 degrees today. The high, say 70, but we'll say 69 there. I'm going to throw my stab at it with some 69 there. Also, it's only currently 55 right now. It's a beautiful, brisk morning. Welcome to the Wagner Wire. Adam Wagner, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pikachu bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com as I'm currently watching Liverpool trail Fulham right now in the Premier League. We got a lot to talk about. It is NBA All-Star Weekend. Zay, how you doing? Let's catch up. It has been a while. So Zay has, and we're not talking Aaron Lewis either, because apparently CJ Morgan has a problem with Stained. So I didn't know they were that bad of a band. We might even get into that just a little bit. But we got to talk a little bit about catching up, because we have not all been in the building together. Now Isaiah Collier is in the building. Can you, first off, we got an experiment. Zay, can you hear us?
I do.
Yes!
We're out. Dude, here, man.
There is no delay. So we are occupying this. Are we pioneering this? Have other shows done this before?
I think this is a thing that we were supposed to know how to do already, and I was not told. So I figured it out, though. Look at us, and now we're here.
Wait a second.
Hold tight. That's great producing.
So that's just good producing right there, Sam. Well, so we were instructed to do this a while ago.
Nobody tells me anything. Okay. I hear things. I heard this through Zay, and he said, hey, bro, we're supposed to do the show like this. You could probably text Dave and ask him how to do it. I said, nah, it's cool. I can figure it out. And now we're here.
This is legit. Like, we all three of us have our own studio right now.
Yeah, we do.
We are still being extra precautious here with COVID-19. And I got to say, like, no politics here, but just because one person tells you to jump off a bridge doesn't mean you should do it.
That's what if it's fun, though?
That's all I'm going to say.
What if it's fun? What if there's something cool at the bottom?
Pool? I'll tell you what. You let me know how it is. All right? You let me know how it is down there. Send me a postcard. Send me pictures. Let me know. But, yeah, it could be a cool pool. But I'll tell you what's not cool right now, man.
Scary.
Liverpool ain't cool right now. It's down one. You don't watch soccer, do you, Zay? Or Premier League?
I'm more of a World Cup type
right,
of guy.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, once we start getting my roots in there, the Cameroon and Nigeria.
The Ivory Coast.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I like seeing my roots in there, seeing my people do their thing. So
I got
that's how I always roll.
Continent is what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, okay, my continent, which I haven't done an ancestry.
The roots continent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know just from like the history of things, it's probably somewhere Western Africa, my roots. I haven't done like an ancestry.com type of thing.
That's legit, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But just going from like the history of things and the, you know, little social studies that I remember from grade school, I think that my ancestors would be from the Western part of Africa.
Right on.
That's just me taking the, you know, that's just me guesstimating.
So we are from the North Sea. Some like around like our ancestral origins are from the Northern Sea area. So a few like some from like my father's, I guess his lineage comes from the Baltic, like not so much Baltic parts, but up in the northern area, like Eastern Russian, like Kiev. Kiev Rus, old origins of Kiev Rus, and
so
stuff
you're
like
part
that.
Viking.
No.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm part Viking at all. those are some crazy dudes, man. Actually, if you think about it, man, maybe a lot of us are part Viking because they did get out. I mean, they fought a lot over their land, a lot. They had a lot of infighting, but I mean, they explored. They got out there a lot. I would say a lot of us are kind of part Viking, at least. You know, the ones up and around in Minnesota and Wyoming. You know. Wyoming and all that when Eric DeLeaver, whoever discovered Newfoundland or whatnot. God, we're really taking this into
We're going off to a place here because this I didn't pay attention much when it came to social studies, my guy. I was like Ben Simmons or Derrick Rose. You know, remember when Derrick Rose had somebody take his SATs for him?
Oh.
Like that's how I felt when it came to, you know, social studies and geography. Like that was not my cup of tea. Which was weird because usually the coaches are the ones who teach those subjects. So you would think I would be more engaged. Am I right?
I would think so.
Never the case.
Because my social studies teacher was the basketball coach.
See, classic.
So, I mean, and literally all we did, if we really didn't want to have to do any lessons or whatever, we'd just say, hey, so what'd you think about Jordan? Ah, well, he didn't do much without Pippen, did he?
That's why I don't remember anything, because we were too busy having sports debates with our coaches / teachers at the time. Like, they weren't really teaching.
And if Danny Wren is listening right now, he will even attest to this, because his ass sat right next to me, too. And he's just like, Wagner, ask him about hoops last night. And I'm like, what? I'm like, come on, man, I didn't do my homework. Actually, that's not true. Danny always did his homework. I'm the one that didn't do the homework.
So you would be the one asking Danny.
Yeah, should we do it? Should we get him going? Should we get him going? And, you know, of course, we'd have Goody Two Shoes behind us and everything going, no, I've just prepped for everything, guys. We're ready to go. Like, let's go.
I can't. Back in the day. I can't say a specific name, because it would definitely get this person in trouble.
Right. Come on, Sam. Get him fired. This is cancel culture era. Like, it's okay to get people fired.
I appreciate it too much to where I can't get this dude fired.
That's fair.
But you guys wonder why I don't know geography or anything like that. My teacher was a coach, and he was a football coach. And that was around the time that I blew my knee out. You guys know I had like a whole knee surgery. I was out of school for like, you know, 2-3 weeks. I had to walk on a cane for like a month and a half. It was all awful. But I came back and I missed like a whole 6 weeks of class. And the teacher, I said, hey, coach, what work do I have to make up? What test do I have to do? He goes, oh, no, you're good.
Legend.
And I was like, what do you mean I'm good? He said, no, it's all excused. I know why you weren't here. And
nice.
I was like, all right, then I guess I just won't know geography.
Yeah, your geography is bucked.
Yep.
Like, it's absolutely it's some of the worst geography ever. Like the Craig Way story with him thinking that Craig Way was in like the western part of Virginia when Craig was really at West Virginia is one of the most classic stories in our radio history.
You can get lost in West Virginia very easily. I'm just letting you know that. You take one wrong turn. Oh, that no pun intended there, but wrong turn and what? Because that, I guess it was filmed or supposed to be filmed in West Virginia or supposed to be located, staged in West Virginia. But yeah, man, it gets a little crazy up there.
Yeah, but you definitely should know that they're two separate states.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay. That's, yeah, you get, there's definitely, I mean, the lines have been drawn, guys. We have borders there.
Say West Texas, there's the same thing.
Well, Texas is its own country, so I can understand. I mean, it takes you literally, like half of your trip, wherever you go, if you're driving somewhere, wherever you go, half of your trip is getting out of Texas.
Yeah.
Especially here from Austin, man. We're located dead center in the state, or it seems like we're dead center central in the state. No matter where you go, man, it takes a long time to get out of here.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is why I never leave.
I told somebody the other day, this is another geography story, I told somebody the other day that Wags was from Baltimore, Maine.
Baltimore, Maine.
And they said, do you mean Maryland? I said, yes I do.
Wow, that is like a...
that is what I meant.
That is like a road trip. They went to Boston instead of Austin. Boston, Texas. You mean Austin, Texas? Yes, that's what I said.
Okay, road trip was on this past week, and my fiance hates it. She's not a slapstick movie type of gal.
That's a classic.
And it's an absolute classic.
It's
like, they're driving to the ATX. Like, even though it's the University of Austin, you know,
I had sex last night with a girl. Like, the fact that he had to specify it, man.
Yeah,
oh,
I love
my
that
God.
Movie.
Is that Robin Williams or Ice Cube? They both had like a road trip movie, right?
Whoa, you're way off,
Sam.
My guy. See,
we gotta
see, that's that
we gotta
Gen
school
Z
you up
stuff.
On this.
That's that Gen Z stuff. That stuff that we just can't control.
Unleash the Fury.
No,
yes, dude.
Sam,
so
you're thinking
we
of like, are we there yet? Like,
I am.
Ice Cube and the kids. This is not a children's movie.
No, this is not a children's movie at all.
This had Stifler in it, right?
Yes.
Okay. No, yeah. I'm with it. Yeah.
And the one dude from Clueless, I can never remember his name.
I can't either.
The skateboarder dude.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, the nerd, the new guy.
Oh, yeah, he's awful, too.
DJ Qualls is this dude's
name.
That's
it, yeah.
They basically told Sean William Scott, hey, you remember how you were Stifler in American Pie? Just do that in this movie.
The entire time. It was the same character. It was almost like Stifler went off to college.
That was his career until he went to rehab, pretty much, was they were just like, bro, be Stifler again. Yeah, dude, he went to rehab. Yeah, I don't think he's done any movies since.
Even in Mr. Woodcock?
What did you do? Kill a cheetah? Oh, when they're showing the pan. Yeah, that was great. That was it's a good flick, Sam. You should definitely check it out.
Oh, I've seen it before. It's just, that's a deep pull for me, bro. That's been a minute. I've seen that probably once.
Check it out again. It's going to be better with you at this point in your life.
That's another movie that stands up to the test of time, too. That lasts. I think you could continue. I think you could make it again. You could still remake it in this year's, cancel culture society. I think you could.
Yeah. I think you could finesse it. Like, I watched Coming to America, the second one, this weekend.
How was that?
It was good at times. It was a good movie. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, it's a sequel, and it's not going to be as good as the first in that, 32-year deficit that basically they've waited.
The rawness.
Yeah, that it's been a minute, and some of them brothers is old. That's all I got to say. Some of them brothers is old. But, they did their thing. It was a good movie. Like, I would show it to my kids.
Throw in deep in Fulham territory right now. In the 60th minute, we got a Williams to throw it in. Just giving you an update here in the Premier League between this match between Liverpool and Fulham here. So, looks like Liverpool is in attack position and waiting for Williams' cross. Nothing came out of it. We'll keep you updated. All right, boys. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star Weekend here. It used to be some of the funnest things to attend, but obviously in 2020 and 2021, we have to be mindful of things right now. But, dude, are you still getting like a little bit of the buzz from NBA All-Star Weekend, or is it kind of just like, for you? That's exactly where I'm at.
And it's tough, too, because UT also plays tonight,
right.
So I'm going to have to DVR the All-Star game. But, with no fans and a lot of the players seem very uninterested. Like, seeing a lot of these guys being asked questions if they want to be there or not. LeBron, he's made his case on why he doesn't want to be there. Steph did it in the way that Steph does. Steph's very passive-aggressive when he doesn't like something.
Sure, just shrugs it off.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not going to complain about it, but, it's something that just, we got to do it type of thing. So Giannis also, a lot of those guys who have been there, numerous times, they're really not down with it. Obviously, this is another vacation if they win. I think if you win, you get $100,000.
There's incentive, yeah.
Yeah, if you lose, you might get $75,000. Either way, that makes it interesting. And then, once the blood starts flowing, those guys start running up and down the court.
Dude, it was legit last year.
Yeah. And I think that was because...
And that was right before the break. That was right before everything started, like the Rudy Gobert incident.
Yes. And I think that was because, the Kobe thing. You remember they wore 2 for Gianna and 24 for Kobe. So they felt like they had to honor him by really playing hard that game. So I don't know if you're going to have that. The fans not being there, the events being before and at halftime, that's going to be very interesting, especially with guys who are participating in the All-Star game and also in events like the three-point shootout.
Right.
You're going to see Steph in there and Mike Conley, who...
Now the newly subbed Mike Conley for Devin Booker.
Yeah, which that's a very controversial, Wax, because a lot of people think that DeMar DeRozan probably deserved it, and a few other guys. But, Mike Conley, it's been a long time coming. I would throw him in this year, especially with, how Utah is leading the league in the standings right now.
Hey, but, you just don't pick Utah cats. You just don't do it though. Even Stockton, LeBron even told you, even Stockton Malone, you know, they had their heyday and you just didn't pick them.
Yeah, and if you're
it's so true though, what he said, man.
That's true.
I guess it's the marketing, right? Like they just don't get the press. They don't get the buzz.
Yeah, I mean, it's Utah. Like they're
Park City's nice
being,
though. I'm not even going to lie. Park City is nice.
It is. And you know what, Wags? When we become adults, we appreciate Utah a lot more. Like, I was in Utah a few years ago up in that Park City area to where they had the Winter Olympics back in the 90s.
Where they have Sundance Film Festival and everything. Man, beautiful. It's a beautiful area. Exactly.
It's beautiful up there. But when it comes to the Utah Jazz, which the name clearly doesn't make sense, obviously coming from New Orleans before they migrated to Utah.
Maybe it makes sense because jazz is kind of like offbeat and off rhythm, and you just really can't get in your rhythm there in Utah. I have no clue.
Ain't nothing jazzy about them short Stockton was rocking. Yeah, ain't nothing jazzy about Jeff Hornacek, you know, wiping his hair on the free throw line. Ain't nothing jazzy about that. So they did it to themselves, you know, in a way. But if you're Quinn Snyder and you're coming back from the All-Star break and you're looking at your team, you're trying to make your final push before the playoffs, how is that not bulletin board material?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you see that your best players, the team, the guys who are representing your franchise in the All-Star game picked last, and then LeBron has the ridiculous pride to justify why they're last. Like, you don't have to justify, just shrug it off. Pull a Steph Curry.
They were already down, bro. You just said, what the hell? Let's just stomp on them real quick.
Yeah, we don't mess with Utah. Nobody did. Back in the day, nobody picked Utah when we were playing video games like NBA Live and, you know, what was the other games back in the day? Like NBA Jam.
Oh, Bulls versus Lakers in the NBA playoffs, man.
Yeah, nobody was picking Utah, but I appreciate Karl Malone and John Stockton and Jerry Sloan so much more now that I'm an adult than I did back then, especially after watching the Last Dance documentary and how, you know, serious Mike and Scotty and all those guys took those Utah Jazz teams.
Well, I mean, I guess so too, because they were probably one of the teams that were probably constructed to counter the Bulls the best, right? I mean, the Suns were pretty nasty too when Barkley was in his heyday, but
yeah.
I mean, the guy, that was Barkley's MVP year, wasn't it? I think.
Which year? 93 was his MVP.
The year they went to the finals with the Bulls.
The Suns, Barkley's MVP year was the same year that they went to the finals.
That was a well constructed team too, man.
But
beyond that, I don't remember too much actual hard games that the Bulls actually had from the West. That's my only thing.
Yeah,
it felt
well,
like
let's
a lot
keep it
of their
100.
Championships came from the conference championship there, man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's keeping it real. Like, let's keep it 100. Dan Marley cannot guard Michael Jordan.
No.
Well, I don't, you know, if you go
Thunder
back and
Dan,
watch.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, that's my guy. He's all-time great in Phoenix Suns history, but again, this is Thunder Dan trying to guard Michael Jordan.
Like, it really felt like
no one could guard him, but Thunder Dan, no. That was the matchup, really, Paul Westphal?
But when you even go back...
Rest in peace, Paul Westphal, but really?
I know, dude.
Really?
But when you go back and watch those, those NBA playoffs, right, you look at it, you can just see, you can tell, all right, Houston didn't have nothing from the West back. I mean, they had Olajuwon, and at times after Portland, made the move to get Drexler over there, they were something. But nothing rivaled the conference championships coming from the East, man, between the Chicago and the New York Knicks.
Oh, don't get me started on the Rockets, bro.
The Pistons, too, man. The Pistons had it for a while, too, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, the Pistons and, obviously, Bird and, you know, McHale, what they were doing with the Celtics back in the 80s. But when you jump in the 90s, those Knicks teams with Pat Riley were absolutely just brutal. Like, they beat you up the whole game. And even though they weren't the most skilled team, you know, that would wear you down. And that's what they did. They used to wear teams down during the era where you could be a little more physical than you could now, especially with hand checking and the rules that they allowed back then. But you're right, man. Like Indiana Pacers with Reggie Miller, when they got Jalen Rose on the team, you know, that took their game to a whole nother level with Mark Jackson, Chris Mullin, and Rick Smith. Like, those were really good teams, and they took the Bulls to seven games in 98. So, you know, don't get me started about the West back then, because that Rockets team, if it wasn't for Hakeem, that Rockets team wouldn't even make the playoffs.
Nothing.
That Rockets team would have been horrible if it wasn't for Dream.
And I got something, and you know, I'm going to throw my guy's name out there, Satish, man, my homie Satish. I'm going to tell you right now, your argument that Patrick Ewing is better than Olajuwon is just dog crap.
Yo, stop it. Who said that?
My guy Satish. I have to introduce you to this dude.
Okay. Yeah. But
you know what?
Yeah,
We're all gonna play Adult League together.
Okay. See, you keep trying to get me the hoop. You see how he tried to do that, Sam? You almost had me. Because I was be like, I have to meet this guy, because saying something as ridiculous as Patrick Ewing being better than Hakeem Olajuwon.
Dude, like, he will die on that hill, because he's a stubborn Knicks fan.
Yeah,
dude.
Was he born in Brooklyn? He has to be born like in, you know, Staten Island or something like that.
I don't know. I don't want to assume where this guy was born.
Yeah, he has to have that New York Knicks blood just running through his veins.
But
to
dude,
say
he doesn't shut up. Like, and I'm a Giants fan too. He's a Giants fan, and I mean, like, there's some things where he'll just start talking, I'll just be like, my God, you're hurting our credibility. Just stop. Just like that's not even a valid argument. What are you talking about, bro? It's clinically science. One, that doesn't make sense, and it's an opinion. It's not. All right, we'll take a break real quick. When we come back, man, we'll be getting back into the NBA All-Star Weekend and what just some of the fun things that are going on and the vibe with the NBA All-Star Weekend, too. We talked about the buzz being down a little bit and what this might mean for future NBA All-Star games. Don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pikachu bring you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. And just an update right now from your Premier League. We have Fulham still ahead of Liverpool in the 73rd minute, about to be 74th minute. 1-0. Yes, 1-0. That is 1-0 in translation to English over here. But yeah, it looks like Liverpool not having the season that they had last year, as a matter of fact. I don't think they're really in contention anymore to win their domestic title from the Premier League. It looks like that might be going back to Leicester. Leicester had that magical season back when they had Mahrez and Vardy there and N'Golo Kanté in their midfield, and we'll see if they're able to kind of recapture that golden hoist the trophy up for the Premier League one more time. And we'll see, also be keeping an eye on Chelsea, the boys from the bridge, see if they can actually continue this spectacular run under new manager Tuchel there. I mean, they're undefeated, seven wins and three draws, no losses so far under Tuchel. So I didn't think that the move needed to be made with Super Frankie Lampard, but it looked like apparently he was in a little bit over his head there. I just think a little bit more loyalty should have been shown. I think whenever you make changes, you naturally regress instead of progress. So it looks like things are getting a little bit better for the boys from the bridge. Then we'll see if the Blue Lions are able to kind of get back into the four and be in contention for Champions League. They're making another run at it. They got another home stance against Atleti. We'll see if they can do so. They'll have to do it without Jorginho and Mason Mount. That's a lot of productivity out of their midfield there. So we'll see if Conte and the midfield can hold us down and be able to win possession there. All right, back to NBA All-Star Weekend. All right, Zay, we gave it a little bit of a tease last segment there. No fans in the stands, right? So there's not that much buzz. And wouldn't you argue that the NBA All-Star game is more for the stands more for the fans than it is for the actual All-Star selections or players that are actually there. I mean, you even heard Steph, you know, his comments, his passive aggressive comment of, you know, it's an honor and everything, but, and we're paraphrasing here, you know, it's really cool, it's an honor to be selected, but I mean, you know, we're here because we kind of got to be here.
Yeah, man, it's definitely interesting, and you know why they're doing it, because
sure.
The green makes the world go round. And at the end of the day, a lot of these guys probably won't be very invested until, you know, what, the fourth quarter, which,
right.
You know, that's how a lot of these All-Star games go, but it's going to be very interesting to see how it's going to look with no fans. I think the guys who, you know, are newly to the All-Star game.
I think Bradley Beal's going to be MVP.
That's a really interesting way to go. I never thought about Bradley.
I think Bradley Beal's going to, I mean, if you got a prop bet, place it right down. Bradley Beal is the MVP of the All-Star game.
Yeah, it would definitely be somebody like that. Like, I think Zach LaVine would be somebody who would try to go get it. Donovan Mitchell, too. I think he's one of the guys who understands the history of the NBA.
Especially being snubbed?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you're a guy that's like a historian of the league, like a Donovan Mitchell, you know, one of those guys that, you know, wants to be considered one of the great shooting guards of all time.
Right.
You look at the All-Star game as, you know, adding credentials to your resume. And, you know, Bradley Beal, like you said, he's one of those guys. Zion Williamson, he's one of those guys. So, you know, I'm very eager to see, you know, how a lot of these guys are going to play. Because if you look at LeBron's team, that's a lot of
they're,
vets.
They're loaded, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that team's loaded. And then
but
you,
those are
exactly.
Vets, though.
They're the vets. And then you got the young, flamboyant flashiness from the East on the – or at least it seems like most of them that I think are from the East.
The only person that's going to play hard on LeBron's team for sure is Jaylen Brown. Everybody else is going to be coasted. So if this was a real game, yeah, I would go with LeBron's team. But for an All-Star game with what's at stake, which, you know, 100,000 to 75,000, that ain't nothing to Steph Curry. That ain't nothing to LeBron. Like, they could care less about, you know, who's going to come out in the win column at the
right.
end of the day. So I really do think Team LeBron's going to get blasted tonight. Like, it's going to be rough. I think it's going to be rough, like, unwatchable to where they're just going to be taking it easy. Like, they got Chris Paul on their team.
Yeah,
what does Chris Paul have
dude,
to prove?
He's not pumping. I mean, he's not wasting any... No, like, he's not expending any amount of fuel that he has to. Like,
yeah.
Like, he is saving his legs, dude.
Yeah.
The Suns are having an amazing season right now and an enormous turnaround. And a lot of people can say that it's from the advent of Chris Paul. Or it could be the advent of Chris Paul. Sure, that veteran leadership is there. But I think all the pieces are just starting to come together for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. And
I mean, Booker's a hell of a baller, dude. You can't just say it's just Chris Paul, man. I mean, the Suns were one of the hottest teams going into the bubble, remember?
Yeah, absolutely. And Devin Booker deserves his flowers, man. I don't know why it's taken him so long, because I've been on your show for about 3 years now, and you know me, I've been praising Devin Booker ever since I've been allowed to
right.
be on the airways. So, like, I don't get why it's taken so long for people to hop on that D-Book train.
Did Booker and Murray play on the same squad?
No, they didn't. At Kentucky, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, they didn't, which is nuts. It seems like all those guys would overlap
like
one
why,
another.
Like, they was all just one and done, man.
Yeah, they're all just
wow,
one and done.
Dude.
But Book was on that squad that I think 7 or 8 players, like, went to the draft or end up going to the draft. Like, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Stein, yeah, okay.
Obviously, Devin Booker.
When they played against Duke. In the
I think they did play against Duke, but Karl Anthony Towns was on that team. You know, they had the Twins. They were on that team. I think both of them were in the league at one point of time. So, you know, Calipari, like, it's very.
That's what he pitches. He'll get you to the NBA. He is the Saban of men's basketball.
Yeah.
Like, he will get you to the next level.
Which, Wags, we talked about fans. And I'm doing a little segue, but I'm kind of on topic at the same time. We're talking about fans with the NBA All-Star game and how we're not going to see them there. And then we talk about Kentucky, who might not make the tournament if they don't win
that's
the
wild,
SEC
right?
tournament. And then you look at Duke also,
that's,
who might not make
weird.
The tournament. if they don't win their tournament.
Last night.
Oh, they got drove. And UNC, they're kind of slowly getting themselves like out of the bubble to where I think they're going to get an at-large bid. I think Carolina's going to get an at-large bid. But think about, you know, those teams. And even Kansas is down this year, right. Even though they're going to make the tournament. They didn't win the Big 12. But all of those teams that I just named, even UCLA, you know, really use their fans to their advantage to help them win games. Like, think about how hard it is to play in Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah, dude.
Like, how hard it is to play. Yeah, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Rupp Arena. Like, these are legendary arenas to when they have fans, you know, I don't know how many games those fans have won for those teams
right.
just from being intimidating. And then you fast forward to this COVID year where there are no fans and you see those same blue blood teams struggling. And it just makes you think that, like, wow.
How
like,
much of an impact
how
does
much of
home
impact?
Court? Yeah, dude.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Just a psychological thing, you know, and you know, you see the Texas Longhorns, like it doesn't affect them because nobody fills up the Flan anyway.
Dude, like Nova losing to Providence. Now look, Providence, this was on the road at Providence, but there was no fans in the stands for that. I mean, well, there was I think they had like 3,000 or something like that. They're starting to shuffle them in just a little bit, but it's abnormal.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's off. Notre Dame also won yesterday over Florida State. So you're seeing these teams that are ranked that are just struggling. Like you're seeing the elites, right? You're seeing I wouldn't call Florida State a blue blood of college basketball, but for the last couple of years they've been in the top 25.
Yeah.
Now I think a lot of that's because Maryland left, but no, I'm joking, dude. I'm joking, man. I'm always throwing love at Maryland because of the roots back home, but. I mean, again, like you're seeing some of these teams that are in the top 25 struggle a lot this year, right? It's just different. It's an odd year. It throws off the psyche. We talk a lot about mental health on this show, man. Like, I really think that actually comes to fruition when you're talking about playing, you know, in this or you know, big impactful games. Now it's weird because I felt like when I was playing, and again, like I didn't play like huge college ball or anything like that. But when I was playing in the state championship for football or you know going down of a high impactful game, dude, I didn't notice anything. Like all I did was focus on the snap, or I was able to tune everything out. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I heard half of the people cheering or the cheerleaders or nothing like that.
Right,
like it's just weird. And I was like that with free throws too. Like you know, people make all these like crazy noises, and you'll hear like these horns and whatnot at games or stuff. Man, I don't hear none of that.
Yeah, and everybody has their tick.
Sure.
You know, like Shane Battier used to vomit before games.
Wow.
You know, like,
I forgot about
just
that.
Just because he was nervous and what? He was National Player of the Year
Duke.
So, you know, different guys and gals and athletes just operate in different ways. And you never know, you know, which team you're going to get or which personalities you're going to get. You just got to hope that, you know, you could all get everybody to play together and follow whatever coaching philosophy that you're throwing out there. And, you know, hope for the best. But yeah, like Coach K and Bill Self, and you know, even though Kansas is clearly going to make the tournament, but you know, just all of these guys like Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, that you know, legendary coaches who have struggled this year, you know, I have never thought about the fans really affecting these blue blood teams like they have this year until, you know, clearly this year when I'm realizing, wow, these guys aren't going to make it when we fill out our tournament. And you got to just credit the fans, you know. Those fans are like Cameron Indoor Stadium. Like, that's one of the hardest places in the world to play. Like, you could hear a lot of opposing teams tell stories about their experiences at Cameron Indoor. So, yeah, you could definitely, you know, credit to.
Have you heard J.J. Redick talk about his experience at Cole Fieldhouse?
At
University of Maryland, yeah.
No, but coming from his point of view, I know he got it from every which way.
Dude, like they were, I don't say this too many off, like there was times where I was looking in at, you know, just at the arena and just seeing some of the signs and like just my jaw dropping.
You felt uncomfortable.
Dude, it was bad. Like as a Terrapin fan and then seeing some of the student body, what they were doing. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he had a sister. Like, I don't even know if he has a sister. But, I mean, some of the things that they were saying, like, I would just, I don't know. You just got to be like a duck and let it roll off your back. We got to take a break real quick. But before we go to the break, I wanted to take it back to the NBA. And we talk about the fan base and attendance being down. And All-Star Weekend is essentially driven by the fans. Without the fans being able to be in attendance, and if this is going to be the new norm moving forward in the NBA or with sports, keeping attendance down, could you see the NBA All-Star Weekend or games start to dwindle and go away, kind of like we're seeing the NFL Pro Bowl?
No, I don't think so. I think everything's slowly coming back to normal to where fans will start, filling the seats again. So I think this is just, one of those, another one of those COVID-adjusted things that we have to go through and deal with, right now. But I don't think this is going to last. I think, I think, to be honest, I think the captain's thing is getting a little dull. I think it's time to switch it up. I'm tired of seeing LeBron pick every year. I feel like they could do something else differently, but I don't know. This is about as good as it's going to get for this season.
No, I'm with you there, man. All right, so when we come back, we're going to take a break. Then when we come back, we're going to go from the pros to the student athletes. So
student athletes. Oh, that is brilliant,
sir. It is
sir.
Definitely brilliant, sir. That's just good producing right there, Sammy. That's just good producing. All right, don't go nowhere. It's Isaiah Collier and Adam Wagner and Sam Pikachu with the Wagner Wire bringing you in and off these Austin radio airways, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You can stream it live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Here I am on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pika brings you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. Hey! Okay, so we talked last week about who we thought the top ones were for the tournament when they get in. And we all, I think we agreed that at least three of them were the Zags, Michigan, and Baylor. We struggled to piece the fourth team, but I think we're kind of figuring it out. How about the Fighting Illini, man?
Oh, man. They've been looking scary. Like, they look scary from
nasty
jump. I think, like everybody this season, they were kind of like a roller coaster. Everybody's had to deal with COVID protocols and missing games. And, each team has handled it differently. Like,
right,
some teams have really been affected by it. And some teams, kept it pushing and just kept, rolling out wins. And when you play in the Big Ten, like, you're going to see everything you need to see. Like, there's not one team that you're going to play in the NCAA tournament if you're not playing a Big Ten team already that's going to be, talent-wise and just as ready as a Big Ten team. So same with the Big 12. Like Texas, that's the best thing about Texas going into the tournament. They've seen everybody at their best, and they're not going to see a team better than they've already played. So that's really exciting because you've beaten top-tier teams and you can beat
right
anybody.
So, I mean, now with that, clutch victory over Ohio State. I mean, they just beat Michigan, too. Without their best player, you could argue. Dude, this is a tough, is it too early to pop the champagne? No pun intended, but this is a team that is a legit powerhouse. I think I'm buying in on Illinois.
Yeah, they have everything it takes to win. They have a good, big man with Kofi Coburn that you can throw the ball into, and he can go get you a bucket, and he's also a force down low.
They got a good guard with Curbelo.
Yeah,
I mean,
really good guard with Curbelo. He's very surprising and very shifty. Obviously, the Simu is what really makes them go. And
but that's only because he is the official Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was a clean look. I like that. I like that look, the black mask.
That is nasty, man.
I was digging that, for sure.
And, of course, his shot's late in the game to pretty much ice it and go ahead. I think, and that's on the road, too. Now, again, we talked about not having the impact of that many fans in the stands, but there were some. But I'm telling you, it's going to be different. I mean, with that energy not being there for March Madness in the Final Four, I mean, this could be an anomaly. This could just be a toss-up there. But I think I'm investing heavily when it has to come to monetary purposes for Illinois going into the March Madness.
And we just talked about it last segment about teams being affected by their own fans. Think about how many teams, you know, during the first round over the years have won because of where they've been placed in their region.
Right.
Like usually the NCAA tournament, they'll take care of you, you know, if you're a number one seed. You know, for example, if Texas was a number one seed and then there were games going on in Houston or Dallas, they would put Texas in Houston or Dallas to play their first two games.
Correct. Duke plays a lot in
North
Greensboro.
Carolina. Yeah,
they play a lot in Greensboro.
Exactly, exactly. You'll see them, you know, always playing, you know, at home.
I hate that stuff. I can't stand it. I hate Duke.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know they hurt. What they've done to the Maryland's over the years.
I hate them.
Yeah, so you're not going to see that because everybody's going to be in Indianapolis. So
yeah.
Gonzaga, everything that they've worked for, what's the point at the end of the day? Like, what's the point when we're all playing in one gym? You know, obviously we're going to play, you know, for Gonzaga, we're playing the worst team in the tournament. But at the end of the day, you don't have any advantages like you normally would.
I'm telling you right now, I think Gonzaga might struggle to get to the Sweet 16, but I don't see them going too far past the Sweet 16. I know they've been dominating. They've been beating teams by double digits this year, but they've been playing in the WAC, man. So, the Western Conference,
the WCC,
yeah. The West Coast Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, and I know they played some tough non-conference games, but I'm just not buying the brand.
And there's pros and cons for every team. If you look at Gonzaga, their pros are, you know, they haven't been beaten. And they've played a lot of good teams at the beginning, but the cons are those good teams that they played at the beginning, they've clearly gotten better over the course of the year. So that Kansas team that they played in November isn't that same Kansas team that they're gonna, you know, that we're gonna see in the tournament. And if
Virginia too.
Yeah, yeah, Virginia, all the teams that they've beaten that have been in the rankings throughout the year aren't the same teams that they saw early in the season. But one thing that they have going for them is they haven't been tested in their conference, so their legs are going to be fresh. While you got teams in the Big Ten, if you win the Big Ten tournament, you're going to be exhausted going into round one. If you win the Big 12 tournament, you're going to be exhausted going into round one. Like that. That's why I'm very nervous for the Texas Longhorns. I don't know what I want them to do in the tournament yet. Like, I want them to play great basketball, obviously, but I don't want them, especially with playing three games in 1 week this week, you know, three games in 7 days, I don't know where their legs are going
to
be.
But you know what, though? I think the Longhorns are engineered to make runs like this. Like, I think they got a perfect dynamic to where they got good veteran leadership, but they also got youth that can just run.
Right, and I hope so, Wags. When I see, you know, Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones and Matt Coleman all getting 35 minutes a game,
that's rough.
That's a lot. And next week, when you're playing the Big 12 tournament and you got to win three games to hoist that trophy
up. We're not talking, this ain't a watered-down conference. I will argue, I know the Big 10 is tough, man. I know Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois are all in the top five. I know this. But I will stand on this hill, man. The Big 12 is the toughest basketball conference right now.
That's how you're feeling?
That is how I'm feeling. From top to bottom, Zay. From top to bottom, it is the most dynamic conference. Like, I think it has the most contention in it.
I go back and forth. Like, I'm a flip-flopper, and I'm not, you know, I'm not too proud to admit that either. From Big Ten to Big 12, like, it's so hard to, you know, give whichever conference, you know, the title on who's better.
I think the level of competition, man. I mean, look at Texas Tech and West Virginia. They can beat any team, and, I mean, you could really look at those teams, too.
Yeah, Even Oklahoma State, with them beating West Virginia yesterday with no Cade Cunningham, that's very, very eye-opening. So it's tough, Wags. It's tough. And we're going to really see in the tournament, like, each team's going to have seven, at least seven teams,
right,
you know, in.
And,
I think the Big Ten, they might have eight or nine. I'll have to really break it down and look at it. But, yeah, it's all going to be based on matchups at the end of the day. It's very exciting, but like you said, there's no walk in the parks in the Big 12. If you're Texas and, you know, if they win today, they'll probably be at that four seed. You know what? You got to go through Texas Tech,
right,
West Virginia, Kansas, and Baylor just to win the Big 12 tournament.
That's
like,
tough.
And if you win it, what's the point? Like, obviously, that's cool and all, but how.
You're spent. Done.
Yeah. How much energy are you exerting to win these games? And people are like, oh, these guys, you know, they're young teenagers and whatnot. I don't care. When you're having that damn Q-tube in your nose every single day,
rough.
We have different types of, you know, fatigue. It's not just your muscles
There's
achings. There's different types of fatigue floating around here that we've never seen before. So you have no idea what these kids are thinking.
Decision fatigue. I mean, it all adds up, dude. All types of fatigue adds up. That's a great point, too, man. Good conversations in the first hour. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two on the other side of it. No Al Walsh today at the bottom of the hour. He had to do a quick pullout. So, yeah. You hate when that happens. All right, we're going to get you also ready for the Manchester City match. We'll roll out the formation there. It looks like Pep's going to go with 4-3-3. We'll keep you updated on that. Lots going on here on the Wagner Wire. Every hour brought to you by Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. Don't go nowhere.